And now the game where we invite famous people on to answer silly questions. We call it Not My Job. We are at heart a talk show here at Wait Wait, and like all modern day talk shows, we stand on the shoulders of giants. One of those giants wears big red glasses. Sally Jesse Raphael hosted her own daytime TV show for 22 years. She won 2 Emmys and more or less created the idea of a TV show being a place you can go to work out your innermost personal problems. Sally, we have got all kinds of problems here, so welcome to Wait, Wait.
Don't tell me.
Exactly.
Oh, I got the first one right. I win.
Wait a minute.
Wait, I could have gotten that one.
Now, I want to say, by the way, how Sally came to be on our show before we get started, which was back in last year, we were doing a question in the show, and the answer was, I believe, Oprah Winfrey, and the listener couldn't quite get it. And I said, oh, she's a talk show host. And the listener said, Sally Jesse Raphael? And I said somebody to the effect of, oh, no, she's in Palm Beach by now. This is somebody who's, you know, still on TV. And I got a note, a handwritten note, a couple days later saying, like hell I'm in Palm Beach.
Yeah, you better be careful. You never know, Peter.
Yeah, never know who's listening. You're right. So we're glad that you do listen, and we're glad that you wanted to be on the show. Now, tell, for those who did not see your show and who weren't familiar with it, what was it like? What was the Sally Jesse Raphael show like?
It started out to be a lot of women's issues and good health issues and things like that. And then along came a guy named Jerry Springer, I think.
Yeah.
Wonder whatever happened to him. And
we have no idea who you're talking about.
Pretty soon the company said, hey, these things rate. You know, you better try that kind of thing out. And so we did, and so the rest is kind of history. But I'm happy that it was like 17 years of good stuff and then 3 years of kind of tabloid.
Really? So you started doing that kind of thing where, you know, she's sleeping with his sister's Siamese twin or whatever it was kind of show.
Not quite that big. I think you're thinking of Maury Povich.
No. Oh, sorry. It's so hard.
Not quite that bad, partner.
And then what happened at the end? Well, how did the show come to an end?
Oh, I got fired.
Oh.
Well, I mean, how do most shows come to an end? You get fired, right?
I guess so. I'm not quite sure. I guess.
Well, how long has this thing been running?
That's a good question.
I'd say about 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
Now you got him.
You
worried.
Never know.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Since you've had a chance to see the evolution of this genre, what do you think of the shows on now? Are they more exploitive and?
Oh yeah, way more. But we started things that we were doing in daytime that now are the stable of nighttime or primetime TV. Sure, we had people eating worms. That became Fear Factor. We sent even grown-ups to boot camp. That became Survivor.
So it's like you yourself single-handedly destroyed Western civilization.
Oh, gosh, I can't. No, I had broadcast executives helping me every
year. All right, that's good. What are you doing now?
What am I doing as a living?
Yeah, just what are you doing with your time since you left
the air? I've been doing a VH1 Surreal Life, and I'm a travel writer. I write for 200 newspapers.
Hey.
And I'm starting my own daily radio show Monday through Friday for an unnamed source. Unnamed because they haven't signed a contract, so who's going to give them a plug? you know, come up with the good guys and we'll talk. I've been in show business a long time, so I've learned that.
Yes, I understand. What's the radio show going to be like?
I live on a farm and it's going to be companionship. And it's I have a family of broadcasters.
And so and we'll just get to listen to you talk about various things.
Well, we talk about crazy things like, you know, 30 ways to protect yourself if a tiger walks in the living room, those kind of things.
If a tiger walks in the living room?
I love knowing things like
that. That would be great, because my list only has about 23.
Hey, that's why you need us.
That's why I need you.
Everyone else is doing news and politics, so we're doing all else.
How much catnip would you need?
I don't know.
Catnip?
For the tiger. Roxanne's obsessing about the tiger.
No, you're supposed to fall on the floor and roll yourself in a blanket and don't move.
Oh.
That's good to know.
That is the single dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well,
wait a minute. A tiger walks in the room, you wrap yourself in a blanket and then tuck yourself in a ball and...
Yeah, unless if you don't blanket, use a rug, sure.
Pretend to be dead.
Right. Tigers do not like dead meat.
I think what you
They'll
do...
They'll see you fall, though.
No, no. I think what you do is you tell your brother-in-law to do that, and then you back slowly out of the room.
Right. But if that's number one, why do you need the other 29?
Well, you have to fill up a lot of time.
Well, speaking of filling time, Sally, Jesse, Raphael, we've invited you here to play a game. We're calling...
Honestly, it wasn't my fault.
A British insurance company by the name of Norwich Union has released a list of its top 10 excuses offered by motorists making claims as they explain their little mishaps. We're going to ask you about three such excuses. Get two questions right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Corva, who is Sally, Jesse, Raphael playing for?
She's playing for David Neal of Salt Lake City.
All right, you ready to play?
Yeah, but I never win anything, hon, you know.
Really?
Yeah, never, but I'll do my best for good old David.
Okay. Here we go. Do you know David? You sound very familiar with him. Perhaps you helped him with a personal problem once.
Could have been.
David used to be afraid of tigers. Terrified that one would come into the room. Now he knows what to do.
But he also used to be dumb.
All right, Sally, here's your first question.
Yeah.
The number one excuse was an explanation for a broken windshield. What happened, according to the motorist? A frozen squirrel fell out of a tree and crashed through the windscreen onto the passenger seat. B, I was throwing a ball to my son but forgot the windshield was between us. Or C, a large angry dog attacked his own reflection in the window and broke it.
You've got to be kidding.
I wouldn't. Would I kid you?
No. We don't know each other that well.
No.
B.
You're going to go for B. Somebody said that they were playing catch with their boy, but
yeah,
forgot that one was inside the car, one was outside the car. No, it was the frozen squirrel.
Oh, you're kidding.
I wouldn't kid. We admire the ingenuity of this because a normal squirrel wouldn't be hard enough to break the windshield. But if you froze it.
Splat.
Exactly. All right, next question. You still have two more chances.
Frozen squirrel.
Another claimant tried to explain how he had come to damage another driver's vehicle. What did he say happened? A, light rays from the sun magnified by my mirrors burned the other car. B, I was practicing bending a spoon with my mind and the mental energy dented the other car. Or C, my door flew open in a curve and a meat kebab flew out and dented the other car.
Who writes this stuff? We'll go with A.
You can go with A. Light rays from the sun, magnified by their mirrors, burned the other car. I'm afraid it was the meat kebab.
The meat kebab,
I will point out, was what? Yes, that's right. It was frozen. We noticed
the meat kebab made up of squirrel meat?
I don't know. The determination of the meat is unclear.
It crashed through the window and then fled out the door.
Mm. All right, last question. One driver filed a claim for damage to his own car. What did he say caused the damage? A herd of cows licking it. B, a poltergeist living in his 17th century house. Or C, Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of York, whom he ran over while she was jogging.
All right, having gone with something that sounded relatively logical, I'll go with Sarah.
You're going to go with Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of York. Oh, that dent?
Yeah.
That's the Duchess of York.
Exactly. That's your choice, Sally. You're going to go for the Duchess of York.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was the herd of cows. Licking the car, wearing away the paint.
So, do I understand I got none out of none?
Well, traditionally, we leave that uncertain until the official scorekeeper, in this case, Corva Coleman, lets us know. So, Corva, how did Sally Jesse Raphael do?
How do I break the news to her?
I don't know. I don't know how she's going to take it. Sally, you know what I recommend you do?
What?
Roll yourself into a carpet. And lie still while Corva gives you the score.
Well, maybe I shouldn't be in this line.
No.
Maybe I should be on some other kind of show. Do you have anything else you do?
This is sadly pretty much it. Corva, how did Sally do in the quiz?
Sally bombed.
Oh, baby. Oh.
She bombed. Sally, you didn't get anything right.
I'm the Paula Poundstone of celebrities.
Yeah. Although Paula's been doing all right recently, but I take your point.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
it's the last time I write a fan letter.
Sally Jesse Raphael hosted her own TV talk show for more than two decades. She'll be back in the air soon with a daily radio show featuring herself and her family, giving useful advice. Sally, Jesse, Raphael, we are so delighted you could be with us today.
Hey, do me a favor. Lose my phone number, will you?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye, Sally.
Bye.
Thank you.